friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you this morning, friends, on this Wednesday edition of our broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you'll take the opportunity to stay with us for the next hour. And, of course, we'll get things started here in just a couple of moments with a devotional word from the Scriptures. That'll be followed up by your phone calls as we invite you to participate, join us in our live broadcast. And it's quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us live on the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Here are the numbers, 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number, friends. You can dial that number anywhere in North America and join us live in the Grace Hour. The local number for all of our listeners in the greater Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And we're looking forward to having you join us on our Wednesday broadcast. We want to welcome all of you that are listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and remind you folks that you can join us on our chat and share your thoughts with us. Pardon me. Perhaps a question, a comment, a testimony, a counseling need, and your prayer requests. Please know that they're always welcome here in the broadcast. And recently here in the Grace Hour, along with what we have been asking God for in our local church, well, we've had answers to our prayers, and we want to encourage you to give us a call if you have a prayer request, and ask the body of Christ to join you for whatever those needs may be, and we'll watch God move mightily on our behalf. We have a throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we're told that we can boldly approach and find grace and mercy to help in a critical moment of our lives. So take full advantage of that opportunity here in the Grace Hour and join us live. Again, we'll take your calls following today's devotional message. We also would like to welcome those of you that are joining us live on our podcast on the following platforms: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few. And again, thank you for joining us. And again, if you're listening live and you'd like to reach out to us later in the broadcast, please feel free to do so. And we also realize that many of you will be catching up with us a little later, and you can listen to today's broadcast live, or actually archive it, and again, enjoy the broadcast that way as well. So grateful for the opportunity to be able to broadcast live once again on this Wednesday morning, and looking forward to sharing some more thoughts on this theme, that it's, well, it's the little things. And when it comes to the little things, and those little things are consecrated and given to God, well, they can be great things and can do a great work of God in the world today. And on Monday's broadcast, we talked about the seed, so small, so seemingly insignificant, and yet when it takes root deep in the soil of our souls, can produce so much fruit. Yesterday, we heard about Matthew chapter 15, those crumbs that fall from the master's table, how they can make such a difference. And today, from Matthew chapter 13, talk about the pearl found in the field. Again, little things that can make such a big difference in our lives. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. And, yes, sir, the microphone is yours.
It's great to be here on Grace Hour. Just great thinking about this thought of little things. If you really follow God through the Scriptures, particularly in the Gospels, you see that He looks at little people, little places, and little things. And that whenever He tells any kind of application, like just looking at the Gospel of Matthew, when He introduces the kingdom, if you look at verses, I want to say maybe 4 through 7, as He's announced the kingdom in Matthew chapter 1 through 3, He begins to produce the kingdom. Starting around after chapter 7, He starts talking about stories of, let me use a different word that we're more familiar with, testimonies of different little snippets and stories about people that were insignificant, mostly not that religious, but they were little. Little in the sense of the religion's mind, little in the sense of society, little in their eyes as being small. And yet they were little, but they were not insignificant to God, because little things matter to God. Little people matter to God. Nazareth, little places, Bethlehem, little places matter to God. It's shocking when you read the geography of the Bible, how many little places, small, insignificant pieces of land that became so valuable later and eternally in the history of the church. But little places, little people, and little things. And I think that speaks a lot about our life. And as we continue this thought, as we walk through these parables that Jesus gets into, because he kind of gets into it a little bit in chapter 13. In chapters, I would say chapter 8 through 10, he gives those testimonies of the little stories. And then he starts getting into, in chapters 11 through 13, the little parables. Little parables about little things. And you get a lot of that too through most of his parables. But really, his parables, there are responses to people's response to the kingdom of God. And there's three basic responses. The first response is positive, and there's a lot of that he shows you. And then the middle is neutral, like when John the Baptist changes his position, says, is he the Messiah? And same with his own family, there's this neutral response. And then there's a lot of negative response from the people that should be the most positive, the religious people. And chapter 13 is kind of the background or the commentary on this response to the kingdom of God. And his response to their response is parables. As we know, that is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But he begins to get into it. And this is one of the parables. In chapter 13, there's like seven little parables that are there. Four of which he kind of only speaks about here in Matthew. And in those four parables, he talks about this pearl or this treasure in verse 44 and this pearl in verse 45. And the two stories are similar, but they approach it from the same angle. Now remember, he's by the seaside. He's by the seaside talking to unbelieving Jews. So he's going to grab what he can visually see, and he's going to grab the things that they can visually remember and part of their practical life. He's going to grab those things, and he's going to restate, you're not responding to the kingdom. Some of you are neutral and some of you are negative. He's going to get into that a little bit. And he does that in chapter 13. So he's talking about this field, and if you follow the beginning, in his previous parables, the field is pretty much the world, okay? The world. And we could even say it this way in the Christian application, that the field is maybe my natural life as well. But he gets into that, and then he talks about that there's this man who goes and sells everything he has to buy this field. And it comes in this field, there is a treasure. Now, the only man in my life and your life that has sold everything he has completely is Jesus Christ. He sold his very life. He gave his life a ransom. So Christ is a good picture of the man, and the world is the field and the treasure. And you can make a lot of applications about that, but the treasure is really you and me. The treasure is you and me, the church, the people of God. That's the treasure. And I want to make some allusions about this concerning, or lessons you could say about this little parable in verse 44, and that's kind of the focus of it. In this little parable, I want to give some little lessons from this little parable. Very short parable. The first one is, it's a free will choice. Notice, he went to the field, and I love this about this parable. It doesn't say he went looking for treasure. In my natural life, I'm not looking for eternal treasure. In Isaiah chapter 1, 5 through 6, there's a hole in my heart, but I'm not necessarily know what I'm looking for, so I tend to have natural expectations. So he went to the field with a natural expectation. It doesn't say, I went to the field because I knew it was there. It's almost like, there's a word in English I like, serendipity. And it literally means an unexpected discovery. God is like serendipity to us. He's this unexpected discovery. You're like, wait a minute. I was just kind of minding my business, living my life, and boom, God happened. Serendipitously, God showed up. And there's a good chance to use that word in a sentence. Serendipitously, God showed up in our life. He just kind of showed up. We didn't plan it. We didn't organize it. Everything we planned and organized in our life, most of which has come to nothing, if we're being honest with ourselves. But serendipitously, there is a plan of God in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and in Acts chapter 2, 23, that God is orchestrating my life. He's like a grand musician. He's bringing all these things in. He's bringing things in. He's putting things together. And he created this cataclysmic, serendipitous moment with the, I would meet face-to-face with God. Now, the guy went to the field. We don't know why he went to the field. The Bible doesn't say. But it says while he was living his natural life, right? Just living his life. Matthew 5, 44 and 45, the rain falls on the just and unjust. He's just living his life. And then as he's in the field, for some reason, he went to check the field. Now, in Jewish culture, Jews didn't like banks. They pretty much, because they were always under occupation, you tended to hide your valuables in ground. In fact, in some parts of Africa, they still do that. These guys hide money, they hide gold, they hide things in their land. So evidently, it was normal to put treasures in the earth. In fact, there's an old rabbinic proverb that says, the best place to store your treasure is the earth. That's where it was. So maybe he was looking for treasure, the Bible doesn't say. But definitely, he was in the field looking, and he discovered something. And there's a beautiful little part of the law that says, basically, finders keepers. If you are just walking around and you discover something and it doesn't belong to someone, you can actually keep it. If it does, if it's not identifiable, you hey, like it's like finding a quarter on the ground. You found it, you keep it. Now, even if it's someone else's property, if you find it like that and it's not preserved as belonging to someone else, you had the right to keep it. So he had the right to keep whatever he got. So he's in the field. He digs. Why is he digging in a particular field? I don't know. He might have been there to farm. It looks like the land didn't belong to anybody. Usually in most places when you farm in no man's land, it's undeveloped land, you just till the land, you drop some crop and you grow it because it doesn't belong to anybody. So evidently he had permission to be in that field, and maybe the field did or didn't belong to anybody. We don't know. He's in the field for a natural purpose. It isn't a spiritual purpose. It's a natural purpose. He's just there living his normal Jewish life. And everyone that's listening to Christ by the seashore is going, yeah, that's true. Nothing he's saying so far sounds incredible. We all live our life. We're farming. We're doing what we're going to do. But suddenly, while he's in the midst of doing something naturally, serendipitously, while he's digging in the ground, he finds a treasure. He finds a treasure. And the treasure is something. What's interesting about the word treasure there, it doesn't speak about a natural treasure, like something like obvious. Christ could have said gold. He could have said silver. He could have mentioned something that everyone in the room would know was valuable. But it seems that the treasure that he found was directly connected to him, something he found valuable in a place where he had an alternate purpose, something he found valuable. In land that he did not own, he was digging and found something that he personally found that. We call that word intrinsic. The value that was there was not an established value. It was a personal value. And that's interesting. So the first lesson here is, if the kingdom of God is this treasure, If this is what we're talking about, the kingdom of God, he said the kingdom of God is like, and I'll just say this about that. 8 times it mentions the kingdom of God, and Christ seems to spend more time talking about the characteristics of the kingdom than the specificity of the kingdom. So I'm not going to be specific where he's not. And by the way, the full expression of the kingdom of God doesn't happen until Luke 11:20 at the second coming of Christ. So we can play that game and try to figure it out. But anyway, the lesson is, number one, in the kingdom of God, for me, it's a free will choice. I have to choose. He made a choice. He made a choice to sell all that he had. Now, what's interesting about it is he sold all that he had to buy the field, not the treasure, because the treasure was in the field. So everything he had, he sold. Now, that could mean that the price of the land was a certain cost, or that can mean I'm just going to offer the guy who owns this land all that I have and hope it's enough. And evidently it was. Sold all that it is. So it's a free will choice. The kingdom of God is a free will choice. The treasure that's in my life is a free will choice. The second thing I want you to notice is, and I just kind of said it earlier, the value is not natural. The value is not natural. Now, here's what's interesting. If what he found was gold or silver or established value, he wouldn't have had to sell all he had and buy the field. He just would have taken it and said, hey, I found this and kept it. He wouldn't have had to do that because what's found, according to the Jewish law, what is found wouldn't have changed the price of the land. It would belong to him directly. It's like you walk on the quarter, you don't, hey, I just found $100 on the ground. You don't just buy the ground it's on. You just say, hey, I found $100 and put it in your pocket. Finders keepers. But in this case, what he found was so personally valuable to him. It was so supernatural. There was no way to measure it. So it was not a natural value. So the value was not natural. Number three, I want you to notice that the treasure was hidden. I'll use a different word. It wasn't obvious. It was kind of mysterious. You're not going to stumble on God. You're not going to find God when you're not, oh, by the way, I was riding the bus and God showed up. No, no, no. It was mysterious. It was hidden. It wasn't obvious. Fourth lesson I would say from this is that this particular, what he found, this treasure produced joy. When you find the treasure of God, you find joy. A joy unspeakable. You find joy. Joy. The joy of the Lord. You find joy. Have you ever sensed the joy of the Lord in Nehemiah 2:10? Have you ever sensed the joy of God in Galatians chapter 5, 22? These things that your joy may be full. In Matthew 16, 33, the joy of God, it produces joy. That's why even though you've sold everything you have, you're happy about it. The sacrifice was worth it. It's worth it. Oh my, he sold all that he had and he was happy about it. What in your life have you even give, have you ever give all of your money to anything before and you've been happy about it? He gave everything and he was joyous about it. Like Christ in Hebrews 12, 2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I will pay the price and be happy about it because there's joy there for me. Then next, also, notice the variety. When you studied all of these parables in Matthew 13, there's a lot of variety in how I can get to the kingdom. It's not some, okay, you had to meet God this way or you haven't met God. It's a lot of variety in these stories. It's a pearl in verse 45, which is established value. It's a treasure in verse 44. There's tares and wheat. There's all these different varieties of the expression of the kingdom of God. And finally, it's transactional. And what do I mean by that? I mean, it's not cheap, but it is free. What does that mean? It's not cheap, but it's free. The kingdom of God is not cheap in my life, but it's free, meaning it's accessible by faith. And there was a price that was paid. That's why it's not cheap. It's not cheap. It was a price that was involved. So this is the treasure. And I think about that sometimes in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Does your treasure seem like a little thing? I met a guy in Richmond 2 months ago. And he'd been homeless in the streets of Richmond for, I want to say, a couple of years. Ex-military man. And he said to me, and I'll close with this. He said, you know, Pastor, there's nothing like when I met Jesus. Changed my life. He said he gets excited. He's animated. It's like it's exciting joy. Like he just came in my life. Everything turned around. You know what? It was a little thing that happened in a moment in time. But it wasn't little, really. It was huge. And I like the way he rehearsed it. The things that God does in my life seem like little things, but who has despised the day of small things in Zechariah 4:10? Who has despised that? I want to proclaim that. And isn't that the gospel in our life? Isn't that the little thing? Isn't that the treasure in our field? In my natural life, I spend every day doing all these different things, but in my life, there's something eternal that has eternal value, that I have, that Jesus Christ, as an example, sold everything, and I also sold everything, and I'm sold out to God, because there's a little treasure in my field, and all people see in my life is they see my field, but they don't see my treasure. They don't see my treasure. It's like Pistol Pete Maravich, great basketball player in LSU history, became a Celtic for a very small season, Pastor Love. He played with Larry Bird, I think, for like half a season. Because between Larry coming in as a rookie and Pistol Pete, as far as his injuries, because he was injury prone. I even saw the clip of those guys together on the court. It was mesmerizing. Imagine that. At any rate, Pistol Pete says this about his life. He said, I told God and everybody else, I don't need you. I'm going to go play basketball. I'm going to get a world championship ring and make $1 million. And it never happened. He kept trying to live in the past. He said he used alcohol and other escapes to do so. He was miserable. He said, I'm not the star I thought I was. Then he said, in 1982, I accepted Jesus Christ by a piece of paper tract that had been safely put in some Sunday school leaflets that he had. He read it, chose Christ. He understood he had a relationship with Christ as a child, and it was now growing. But he made a major decision then. And then he realized that the basketball wasn't a big thing. But the little thing in his life, the treasure in his life, was that relationship he had with God. And he said, now at the end of my life, I wouldn't trade my life in Christ for anything. For 1,000 NBA championships, 1,000 Hall of Fame rings, or $100 billion. He said, Christ changed my life. Just like that guy in Richmond. And isn't that how God shows up? We have an unexpected discovery in our life. There is a treasure in our field. Serendipitously, God, we have an unexpected discovery, Jesus Christ. And it seems like a little thing, but who has despised the day of small things? As Pastor used to always say, if God is in the little is much. Amen and amen.
Amen. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Wednesday edition of our broadcast. And that's going to wrap things up as far as our devotion is concerned, but we're just getting started. Our conversation will continue live in the studio, and we invite you to join us simply by dialing one of the following numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that's 800-338-7060, and the local number, 410-483-3700. Love to hear from you, those of you that are listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, or any number of our podcasts where you can find the Grace Hour. Weigh in. Join us in the chat. Share your thoughts with us. We look forward to hearing from you again on this Wednesday afternoon. We do want to make a quick note of our midweek service tonight that's happening here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. And for those of you that listen to the broadcast locally, we want to extend the invitation to you to come out and to join us live right here in our chapel. It begins at 7 p.m. tonight, and you'll join the saints with a time of worship, praise, and then a message from the Word of God. And we're certain that your hearts will be encouraged. And I think our midweek service takes place at the right time of the week, right smack in the middle of the week, what some people refer to as hump day. And this will do a lot more than just get you over the hump.
Thank God.
It will inspire you to, again, keep living and keep taking every opportunity that God gives you to reveal that treasure that is Christ that's in our hearts. And I can't help but think of that passage that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We have now that we've, or I guess we could say it, you know, because I was thinking, the parable is teaching that this man went out and he found it and he was looking for it. And of course, in my mind, I'm trying to reconcile that with the fact that the Apostle Paul in Romans, the third chapter, quoting from the Old Testament, said, nobody seeks after God. There is none that seeketh God.
Yes.
So on the one hand, you know, he finds this treasure, but on the other hand, no one seeks God. So, you know, how do we reconcile those two principles?
I think we kind of alluded to a little bit in Isaiah 1, 5, and 6. There's something that I'm looking for, and maybe I don't know what I'm looking for. And it's interesting, we were soul winning in Richmond. That was, of the young people that I met in Richmond, is 50% under the age of 40.
ton of young people in Richmond. That's all they are, young people. And everyone I was talking to, I met goths, I met a witch, I met a bunch of interesting things that they've entertained. And it was interesting that that was the question. Like, I'm not religious, but I'm looking. I'm looking for something. You're looking for something and you don't know what you're looking for. But you, and I think that's what it is. Maybe he was in the field looking for something, and on the natural premise, he's got an eternal hole, right, Pastor Love? But he's got a natural solution to that hole. Like, a lot of, what did you say, grow up in the 60s, you're trying to find yourself? I went to the mountains, I went camping, I go hunting, and even people get lost up in hobbies and all kind of things. I'm looking for myself. Trying to find myself, you know, I'm hunting, you know, I belong to this. I'm just searching. But I don't know what I'm looking for. And maybe the reason why I don't know what I'm looking for is because I don't really know what I need, you know. But God knows what I need. So he puts a treasure in a field. And maybe I'm not looking for the treasure. But I find God that is the treasure, and all of a sudden my life is different. My life is different.
We read yesterday from, again, Matthew chapter 15, the Syrophoenician woman coming to Jesus, seeking his help, and asking on behalf of her daughter, who was vexed with a devil. And, you know, her plea was quite simple. She said, help me. I think when people get to that place, and as you mentioned, some of those people that you met in the state of Virginia, you know, saying, I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something, but I don't know what it is. And of course, there was a very popular song a couple of decades ago that one of the more popular groups at that time said, you know, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. There's lots of substitutes that the world provides for men's souls to bring fulfillment, satisfaction, contentment. But they never cut it. Mm-hmm. They never get the job done. And of course, I think that when we get to that place where we really cry out and genuinely, authentically say, God, if you exist, if you're there, help me.
Yeah.
And I think he hears that cry.
Yeah, I like what the way you said that. It's like, I keep it simple, because when I come to God in the beginning, isn't it always personal? It's personal, it's relevant, it's circumstantial in many cases. And maybe there's been a little nagging over a while, and then God just, and then finally you just kind of, there's a relinquishing where you just kind of surrender a little bit. Like say, okay, I need help, right? I think I'm asking for help, but I'm actually looking for a different word, a different H word, hope. I'm asking for help, but I'm looking for hope. And when I sit there and say, God, help me, I'm looking, God, give me hope. Because the help can go away, but help is for today. Hope is for tomorrow. So I'm really talking about hope. And if you think with me a little bit in that parable, it seems like when that guy found that treasure, he didn't found something that he would sell his life for. See, when I ask for help, I'm looking for, I'm going to get rid of some things with the help, but hope I'd give everything for. Give me hope. Like, I was thinking about it. It's like his life changed. First of all, you could say this, number one, his priorities changed. Everything of value that he had, he got rid of. So whatever he previously had prioritized as important was not as important as what he found. So his priorities changed. Second of all, you could say he was very purposeful, because he was very specific. This thing is worth everything. So now his life has got purpose. And I can guarantee you the purpose why he entered that field is not the purpose why he left that field. When he left that field, is the purpose was the treasure. And it was so single-eyed. It's incredible. And then I'd say thirdly, he got perspective. Everything kind of made sense in his life. It was kind of reorganized because of the simple discovery of a treasure. And I think when you meet Jesus Christ, and he's real and he's personal in your life, and he's not a Sunday morning Jesus Christ. He's not a help me, I'm on the edge of a cliff Jesus Christ. He's not a I need a solution Jesus Christ. I'm lonely. He's more than that. It's really organically personal. 7 days a week, it's me and Jesus. It's me conversationally talking, walking and talking with Christ and living with Christ. All of a sudden, it looks like little from a distance. but he gets so much bigger. And isn't that the great thing about the things of God? They always come in little. The world comes in big. Then the things of the world become small. But with God, the things of God come in small. Like the word of God, like a pastor, like a church, like the gospel, like the life of Christ. It comes in small, insignificant almost. Like, yeah, I made a decision. Yeah, that's the church. But then as I begin to have this relationship with the treasure, I find myself getting rid of more and more things. And maybe they have a value, but they're not as valuable as the treasure. It doesn't say how long it took him to sell everything that he has. And I thought about that last night. How long did it take him to liquidate all of his assets? I mean, maybe it took him a while to get his head around it. Like, I don't know. Everything. And then maybe there took a period of time, Pastor Love, where he had to go out and take these household items, walk the people out. What do you take for this? Maybe he sold them at a discount. In other words, he didn't have time to barter. He was scared of losing the field. So everything he sold, he didn't get the real value for it. Like, you know, when you want to sell things, okay, whatever you want to pay me, I'll take it. I need the money. It's almost like you get this hint of urgency and desperation. Like, I got to get this field because there's something in this field that's worth more than everything else in my life. What a beautiful place for Jesus Christ to be in my life. When you know what I'm not looking for? I'm not asking for counsel from people. I'm not asking for traditional wisdom. I just found something. You almost get the idea like it found him.
Yeah. Mm. And we have to ask the question, what is it that we value the most in our lives? That's an important question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't see Christ or the kingdom of God as being that valuable, then we may not decide to make any sacrifices. And I mean, he sold all that he had.
It
begs the question for us, what sacrifices are we willing to make to acquire this treasure? And I don't say that in terms of bartering with God.
Sure.
Because whatever God gives to us, he gives us freely on the basis of his grace. But when you decide to walk with God and discipleship starts to come into focus, there is a price to pay. There are costs that come along with discipleship. Salvation, absolutely free. No strings attached. You receive it as a gift of grace. Discipleship, that's another story altogether. So if we really want this treasure, we have to ask ourselves, is there some dear fragment of the self-life that is going to have to be put on the altar if we're going to embrace fully this treasure that God has for us?
Maybe it's the John 3:30, where the things that were big to me become little. And the things that seem little to me becomes kind of big. Like in the beginning, like you said, I have to start selling some things. I've got to start letting go of some things. You follow me? So because I've got to let go of some things, they seem little. And everything that seemed important to this guy became little to him. And the little thing, I don't get the idea that geographically this thing was that big. Whatever it wasn't huge. Metaphorically speaking, but it was small, but it became big to him and its measure and its value to him. And that's a question I guess we have to kind of ask. That's the Genesis 22 question about my Isaac. Okay. The things in my life before I grew with God, I had to let some things go. And maybe, Pastor Love, in my maturity with God, there's some things that I'm going to have to sell all. Maybe the selling all thing is a continual process, right? Which speaks about sanctification in my life. There's some things that I start selling. I redeem the time, right? I buy up the time. So I've got to let those things go. Like just little things that would distract me from the treasure, right?
Yeah. No question about it. No question about it. I think if somebody wants to make these kinds of decisions that we're talking about, mm-hmm. it's not so much that they have to focus on what is the nature of what I'm willing to give up, sell, mm-hmm. or sacrifice, as much as God gives us a revelation of the treasure. Mm. And the more we understand the nature of the treasure, the more we see the beauty, the glory of who God is, the easier it becomes yeah. to say, I was going to hold on to this. I was trying to preserve this. I wanted to keep this. But now that I have a revelation of what this treasure is, I don't want to hold back anything that would keep me from experiencing the fullness of what God has for my life. So it's really a question of understanding mm-hmm. the nature of who God is and what he's done for us and the glory of this treasure that we're talking about in our relationship with Christ. And then getting to the place where we say, look, you know, the world, it's behind me. The cross is before me. Mm. And there's not going to be any turning back. There's not going to be a life that's filled with regret. In other words, every decision that we make to follow after the Lord mm-hmm. should be a decision that is, it's not going to be regretted. We're not going to look yeah. back on it and say, I wish I hadn't followed Christ so closely. Mm-hmm. I wish I hadn't committed myself so deeply. I wish I hadn't stepped into this process of discipleship mm-hmm. the way that I did. Mm. I mean, can people say that? Of course they can. But if anybody does that, genuinely, authentically, honestly, in the presence of God, I don't see how there could be any regret.
I'm thinking about a conversation between Jonathan Edwards and David Brainerd. And Jonathan Edwards is asking David Brainerd about his life and his ministry in America with the American Indians. And David Brainerd kind of says, when I die, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm not so much looking forward to going to heaven. That's not the goal. But the goal is to glorify God. I so value my relationship with God. If it glorifies God that I go to heaven, then I will go. But really, the treasure of who God is was so precious to him. He had minimal fruit, really, while he was alive. He hadn't accomplished much, really, as a missionary. But really, just the value of his relationship with God, right? Unto we who believe he is precious. I like the way you said that it's like, it's not so much where I'm valuing what I'm sacrificing, but I'm appreciating what I'm having. So all of those things kind of fade away. They're not so important. Have you noticed that in your life, listeners, that there are things that mattered to you 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, that currently in your relationship with God, they kind of fail away? What did Jim Elliot say? He is no fool who gives up what he, I think it's, I want to say Matthew 6, 25, same book, Matthew 6, 25 and 26. He's paraphrasing. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he could never lose. And I kind of thought of that verse in conjunction with this parable, is that that guy gave up what he couldn't keep anyway to gain what he would really never lose, which is that treasure. And that's the beauty of our walk with God. And it seems like such a little thing. But as I grow in my relationship with God, he gets more precious to me and less transactional and more personal. Less you do this, I do that, and more personal. My prayer life is more less transactional and it's more personal. It's just me and God, and it gets to the point where I don't have to say anything. I can hold the treasure and have joy in holding the treasure. Just the possession of God in my life is supernatural to how I think with about life in general. There's this present revelation of who God is through the treasure. There's this personal revelation of who I am because of the treasure. And then there's this defining revelation of my world because of the treasure. I have this treasure in me that's Jesus Christ, and it changes everything.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think Paul summed it up in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He says, "When I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory mm-hmm. that will be revealed in us." I mean, we're talking about some of the good things mm-hmm. as the world defines them that we're willing to sacrifice and let go of mm-hmm. so that we could acquire and have more of this treasure. But he's talking about suffering. And even in that context, he says, I will gladly endure these sufferings because I know the glory that's going to follow. Mm. Great thoughts. Let's go to the phones. Lise is joining us from Montreal. Lise, thanks for reaching out to us today. Go ahead. You're on the Grace Hour.
Yes. I couldn't resist calling you guys. Pastor Love, Pastor Rinaldo, I love you guys so much. Mm. Thank you so much for doing this. I enjoy this conversation, those verses, those thoughts, very deep, loving, wanting to have to glorify God, you know, not just enjoying our time in heaven. That's deep. Anyway, so yeah, thank you very much. And I just want to say that I mean your subject this morning, Pastor Rinaldo, I mean it really needed. I mean I needed it because we need to be, you know, filled, because we've been going on the streets for 11 days now. We have kind of a summer harvest in Quebec City.
Beautiful.
And yes, and you know, like now at some point you always need to have something to say that is fresh, you know. Mm-hmm. And since this morning, I mean the word, but I mean what you're saying about you know, that people will not just get to know God like this, like an instant thing. You open and whoop, you find God, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unless we go and talk to them. So that's great. You know, I have some thoughts from you this morning that I will keep for my conversation. We're going to a skate park.
Oh, wow.
Because the young man who came from Montreal, he had a vision to come to Quebec City for a month. So we've been seeing each other a lot. He's not even 20 years old. You know, he's in fire for God. And we're having a great time. And, you know, like I thought, yeah, he has a gift to talk to the young people. Hmm. He's good. You know, he makes them think a little bit, and so it's great. So and now I know that they are all on IG. I didn't know the Instagram thing. No, so now, like Pastor Love knows, I'm on Instagram since a week for now. You know, a few days, and I'm gonna get in touch with those kids. You know, after Benjamin leaves. So, and thank you very much. I mean, I just want to say I appreciate so much to be able to listen and be and nourished, you know, this morning. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Lise. And for those of you that are listening, Lise lived, you know, most of her life in Montreal, and now she's back in Quebec City. Were you originally from Quebec City?
No, not at all.
No.
I was born in the center of Montreal.
Yeah. So now you're in Quebec City, and you have this young man that really had a burden on his heart to go and to reach people in that city with the gospel.
Yeah.
So together, we're praying that God will reap a harvest.
Amen. Yes, we're taking numbers, and we pray for that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Lise. Appreciate the call.
Okay. God bless you, Lise.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Bye.
We got a comment. Pastor John Herb, who is the pastor up in Pennsylvania.
Boiling Springs.
A lot of people don't know where that is, but it's quaint little town.
I have been there, and I was actually with Pastor Jonathan Herb in Zambia.
Recently.
Just two weeks ago. Last week we were in Zambia together.
He
was there.
That's right. They have a great burden in their church, don't they, to
reach missions,
Africa?
Yes. Yeah, they
absolutely.
Do. Big supporters. He did a great job. We had a great time doing leadership seminars. We did a conference. He was the main speaker.
Wow.
Phenomenal job.
Praise God. But he was written to us, and he says, for me personally, I followed after the treasure, and I didn't so much make conscious decisions to give things up, but they just seemed to disappear as I followed. That's a great thought, because I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
The more of an understanding we have of who God is and what he's done for us, those things in our lives that we once deemed valuable, important to us, something that to hold on to, we just willingly, freely gave them up, because we just see the value of the treasure, which is our relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
Nothing is more important.
Good word.
Let's go next up to Port Chester, New York. Lauren is joining us on the Grace Hour. Lauren, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor Love, and good morning, Pastor Brown. No, long time no hear from you, but welcome back.
Well, I'll repent for that, sir, and I appreciate your welcome.
Okay. Anyhow, something comes to mind. How we often have to get brought to the sort of to the end of ourselves. And the case in point I'm going to try to make is this. You remember that incident? I think it's sort of towards the middle of the Gospel of Mark. Maybe it's also in other Gospels also, where the disciples are on the sea. It's a rough night, sea, mm-hmm. windy, maybe rainy, and then Jesus wasn't with them at that precise moment. And they're rowing, struggling to go to who knows where. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me, many of our lives, we're trying to get something out of life that's not necessarily wrong in itself, and we're struggling. And we're getting tired, and then all of a sudden, what happens? But Jesus shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he comes to us. The storm becomes his path to reach us.
Wow.
Well, he did a pretty good job. I mean, that rough sea. He was walking on that rough sea, so he did a pretty good job. And I guess I said a mouthful already.
Yeah, it's a good point, and you're right. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of life storms, and when we need him the most, that's when Jesus shows up. Mm. And again, it says in Matthew chapter 14, mm-hmm. The ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, the wind was contrary. Well, some listeners today may be tossed about by other things, by their finances, their relationships, a troubled marriage. It could be any number of things. But, if we will just be patient, for the disciples, it was the fourth watch of the night. That's when Jesus came. That's like the darkest part of the night. And that's when we can expect God to show up. Sometimes we expect him to show up at the praise and worship time. He does. The church service, he does. The prayer meeting, he does. Mm. But sometimes he does his best work in the midst of storms.
Yeah, I remember Peter said in that incident, Peter said, "Lord, save me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, well, listen, you all have a wonderful day. I'm not going to get into baseball. I mean, I hanged myself enough with that these last few months. So anyhow, have a good day.
Thank you, Lauren. We appreciate that.
Take care.
The phone lines are open. You can join us, friends, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free. Locally, it's 410-483-3700. Aretta is joining us. She's from Baltimore as well. Aretta, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor Love and Pastor Rinaldo. Oh, my loving pastors. Pastor Rinaldo, little is much when God is in it.
Yes, ma'am.
Labor not for wealth or fame. Mm-hmm. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Mm. And we have to lay our all on the altar of sacrifice. Put our faith and trust in Jesus and our soul and body yielded to God, Holy Spirit. Mm. That's what we're living for. I tell the Lord more than once when I reach to heaven, I want to hug Jesus, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Same faith, oh yes.
Mm.
And see, and I love roses, so put me in the rose field. Oh my goodness, I love his creation, I love roses.
You love roses, huh?
I love roses. My living room is full of beautiful roses right now. I love
roses.
Oh
my goodness.
One night I dreamt I was in this field with all roses, me and my older sister, and we were praying to the roses. And when I wake up still in the bed for the roses.
Wow.
I wake up still in the bed for the roses, still on my bed sheet for the roses.
But you know what's amazing, Aretta, is that what's amazing in your life is that there was a field and you found a treasure. And
oh, yes.
That treasure has become more precious as the years have gone on.
Every moment. Oh, yes. Every moment, Pastor Love and Pastor Rinaldo.
Yes.
Every moment. This moment.
But let me ask you a question, Aretta. Based on what Pastor Herb said, did you kind of find that also happened with you, that as it wasn't so much that you made decisions to stop doing things, but that you began to follow more specifically after the treasure that you had, and these things just kind of fell away in your life? Did that your experience?
Oh, yes. Trust me. I grew up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I saw my mother die and went to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She told me she had two more steps to go. And she didn't tell me heaven. She told me she had two more steps.
Okay.
And let me tell you something. I live with that in my heart.
Wow.
And I got saved when I was a teenager. And you know something? The night of the revival service, a hand led me to the altar.
Wow.
And I couldn't understand why we took the altar so quick.
Isn't it great?
When I said to myself, yeah, I was the only person left after the altar.
Wow.
And the pastor hands on my head praying over me.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you.
And then you found the treasure. And then as you found the treasure.
Jesus is my treasure.
He became more and more precious.
My every breath. Oh, yes. Every moment. Not even every day. Every moment.
Wow.
I live for that.
I love your faith.
Listen to me.
I love your passion.
Trust me. Wow. Yes. You all have a blessed day. Love you all.
God bless you. You take care.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aretta. Phone lines are open. You can join us. We still have time to take your call. 800-338-7060. Locally, here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Vladimir Medvedsky says, praise the Lord. Hugs and love from Ukraine. And today, my understanding is it's their Independence Day in Ukraine, obviously. That has been typically there would be great celebration, under the circumstances. Also, 6 months since they have this war, this conflict has taken place between Russia and Ukraine. So we don't want to forget them.
No.
We don't want them to slip from our minds and our hearts. We're praying for the Ukrainians. We're praying for the churches there in that country, and we're praying for an end to that conflict. So, Vladimir, thanks so much for reaching out to us. God bless you. Osaga, Robert, great. He says, great thoughts, pastors. Thank you so much. We still have time to take a couple of calls. We do want to remind our listeners locally that tonight's our midweek service. I know we mentioned that earlier in the broadcast, but don't forget that. Put that on your calendar for this evening, 7 p.m. Everyone is welcome. We hope you can make it out and join us for our fellowship tonight. Our good friend Dietmar Scherf writes and says, and he's quoting from Proverbs 15:6, the A part of that verse. It says, in the house of the righteous, there is great, priceless treasure.
Interesting. In the house of the righteous. You know, it's interesting how the world has made the church is not a, the church has become like the field is not the treasure anymore. We used to be the treasure in the field, and that church life would be something that I would sell all. It's amazing how your relationship with the treasure has a direct impact on how you think, see things related to the treasure. Meaning if my relationship with Jesus Christ, as it becomes more personal, there should be a assembly in Hebrews 10:25. And I love this part of that verse. Do it the more. In other words, as you're growing with God, there should be an intensity and an increase. Colossians 2:19, you increase in the increase of God. There is an increase where I'm drawing more. But it's amazing to me that Christ in some people's lives has become the little thing. I'm a Christian on Sunday morning. It's a little thing. It doesn't impact my life as much. Doesn't impact my thoughts. It's a little thing. There isn't an increase in my devotion. There isn't an increase in my fellowship. It's a little thing. I don't want to leave that undone. That's why I was so refreshed by that guy. He was a retired Vietnam veteran. You would have thought he got saved yesterday. The energy that he had about it, the demonstration, he was so vocal, like, yes, Jesus came into my life, and yes, everything is different, and yes, I'm going to be okay, and yes, it was amazing. It was like he was getting saved all over again, like every time he thought about it, and that's a good rehearsal. In 2 Peter 3:1 and Philippians 3:1, the rehearsal is good for me. Rehearse the little thing that walked in your life and changed your world. Rehearse that relationship with how it began. I don't want to lose that.
We got a question. Someone's asked, what does the pearl found in the field symbolize in the life of a believer?
I would say, number one, how is a pearl formed? It's thrown through a lot of adversity. And oftentimes in the field of life, the pearl of God raised in my life is going to be the result in my relationship. The value is produced through adversity. The value of, you alluded to this earlier, the value of Christ in my life. Christ walks into my storm and becomes big to me. The value is revealed through adversity. So that's why sometimes I think God lets us go through some adversity. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's precious to me. How does God become precious to me? And Peter writes that he's talking to a church that's under persecution. And unto we who believe, he's precious because of all that we're going through. The treasure is amazing. That's my first thought about that, that the pearl in my life has been produced through adversity, that this relationship has been a result of a lot of adversity. The suffering of letting go of things and things happening to me has produced an experiential pearl in my life that I grow to value more and more.
Amen. We got another question. What is the meaning of the, quote, kingdom of heaven, end quote, in Matthew 13:44? Well, there is a difference, and oftentimes in the scriptures, in the gospels in particular, when the kingdom of heaven is referred to, that's a reference to the millennial reign of Christ, when his kingdom is actually and literally established upon the earth. So that is something that is to be looked forward to in the future. The kingdom of God, on the other hand, includes the invisible realm and sphere where the king is present, although you cannot see him, and it includes everything, including the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of God is something that you and I are a part of, and the kingdom of heaven is something that, of course, we will be participating in as the glorified bride of Christ in the future. But most often, when that phrase, the kingdom of heaven, is used, it is a reference to the millennial reign of Christ. Well, final thoughts, Pastor Rinaldo, before we wrap things up here on our Wednesday edition of our broadcast.
I just want to point out one little part of the verse in verse 44. Sell all that I have. What does that mean to me? Pastor, when I read that verse, let me sell all that I have. It literally means, from my perspective, that I prioritize the gospel in my life above everything else. It speaks about priority to me. So all that I have is priority. And anything that is above God in my life is something that I haven't sold to God. I haven't sold all that I have. The priority of God has got to be number one. Christ first and Christ only. And I think we experientially grow in that. I think we do. I think when you become saved, you the mindset of sell all that you have might not be there experientially. But you have, in one respect, positionally done that because of applying your faith. But on the other side, experientially, I don't have a practical day-by-day situation. I think that's a gradual sale, kind of a yard sale of the flesh, that over a period of time, there's things that I put away, I let go of, I no longer prioritize over God.
Yeah, and the more we set our sights on Christ, the more glorious his work on the cross is to our hearts. It's almost like some of those things just fall by the wayside. I think it was Pastor John who shared that with us. You know, it's not so much that there's this conscious effort to saying, I got to stop this. I got to give this up. I got to let this go.
Yeah.
As much as we see the beauty and the glory of who Christ is.
Beautiful.
He's our treasure.
Amen.
Friends, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope you tune in then. Until then, may God bless you.